Welcome to Enterprise IT Month, sponsored by Nutanix on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. Now here's your host, Tom Timmon.
After 10 years of updating its distributed common ground system in traditional blocks, the Air Force says it's time for a new way of doing business. The service says it's fully adopted an agile methodology for the sprawling intelligence system. We get more now from Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu.
The Air Force version of DCGS, already installed at 27 sites around the world at a cost of about $750 million each, is the service's main system for processing and analyzing the data that comes from manned surveillance aircraft, drones, and other sensors from across the military. But until now, it's been tough to add new capabilities to the system as quickly as they're developed. Generally, they've waited their turn for the next scheduled block upgrade to DCGS while engineers struggle to integrate them with a prime vendor's system designs. Colonel Bruce Lyman, the Chief of Intelligence, Surveillance, and Reconnaissance for DCGS, says that's changing as the Air Force quickly pivots to an open systems architecture. The Air Force Research Laboratory released an open architecture prototype of DCGS last year. It will be tested at 5 pilot locations this year.
And as we field that in execution, while we're still in combat, while we're still deploying block release, we've announced that we will no longer deploy block release at all. We've completely adopted the agile methodology, and we're driving the new methodology with new technology into the weapon system, which will allow us not only to take new technology and new capability and very quickly drive that to analysts, but to do something else we haven't done before, is do that in parallel, not sequential. So instead of waiting for years and years before everything's done and deploying it, we'll be able to deploy it very quickly after we roll out that agile framework. And that's the power of operationalizing this. Now you'll have in the hands of analysts the ability to allow them to do the tradecraft, which and innovate at the edge using those tools, just like industry does. That's allowing us to innovate at the edge. Now allow thousands of analysts to do that and give them the tools at the edge to analyze and use that data. It'll be extremely powerful in combat.
Last year, DCGS also served as the first test case for an open architecture-oriented rapid acquisition process the Air Force refers to as PlugFest Plus. The plus denotes the fact that besides just showing off what their technologies could do while plugged into government networks, there was the promise to vendors of a contract award within 60 days. In this case, it was for a rapid upgrade to DCGS that automates the task of redacting intelligence information so it can be shared outside of sensitive channels. For the first PlugFest experiment, the Air Force made its award by borrowing processes the Army had already set up, communicating its needs through a consortium of mostly commercial companies that typically don't do business with the government, and using other transaction authority to bypass most of the hurdles that tend to slow IT procurement down during the defense procurement process. Dr. Cameron Gorgonpour is the Director of Transformational Innovation in the Office of the Air Force's Assistant Secretary for Acquisition.
My job is to look across the acquisition enterprise and basically try and beat bureaucracy with a sledgehammer and see what we can shake loose.
Open architecture has been both a buzzword and an objective across DoD for nearly a decade, but has only taken off in pockets. Gorgonpour says that's because it only works when it's paired with a rapid acquisition process, the kind the IT industry uses when it's adding capabilities to, let's say, smartphones.
When the Department of Defense talks about open architectures, obviously we're not actually literally looking for an app store, but we're looking for something similar. But imagine now with the CNN app, it took me 2 years to download it and then probably like another year to 2 years to be authorized to use it. I wouldn't download the app or buy the phone because that's an idiotic business model. But that's essentially what we offer to our program managers when we say, hey, wouldn't you love to go get an open architecture using the standard federal acquisition process, DoD acquisition process? At that point, what's the point? If it takes you 5 years to switch out a capability, you might as well stick with a company that you started with.
Having tested the PlugFest Plus approach once last year using the Army's consortium of non-traditional vendors, the Air Force has launched its own, the System of Systems Security Consortium. Using the combination of OTA authorities and an Air Force-controlled pathway to communicate what it wants to buy, the service thinks it can cut the time it takes to deliver new modular capabilities to its systems to just 3 weeks.
It is literally a one-page online form and like a $500 fee, and you can be a member of the consortium. And once you're a member, you're able to compete freely for government business within these lines. So what you'll see rolling forward in the next few months is a number of projects, hopefully with DCGS and other programs throughout the Air Force, who are interested in evolving into open architectures in an agile way you'll start to see projects flowing through this consortium.
There are some caveats, though. When Congress first created OTA authority for NASA in 1958, it was meant to be limited to R&D and prototyping work that couldn't be awarded under the traditional procurement system. Today's rules mostly limit OTA to firms that did less than $500,000 in defense business during the prior year.
You can be a member of the consortium, but in order to compete, you either have to put in a one-third cost share or partner with a small business or a non-traditional company. But because the consortium consists of many small companies and non-traditionals, it's actually rather easy to do that partnership. And the partnership with a small business or non-traditional needs to be to a significant extent, and a significant extent isn't defined by law as anything other than the partner has to be contributing a meaningful product or service to the end goal. It's also important to note that business divisions of defense companies, so if you have a larger company with a commercial division and a government division, the commercial division is considered a non-traditional, meaning that if you're a big company, you can have your commercial division partner with your government division, and you don't have to put in the cost share. So it's insanely easy to work through. But in any case, point is that companies of any size and nature, we encourage to join the consortium.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, FederalNewsRadio.com and 1500 AM.
Still to come on Federal News Radio, the Air Force goes agile for its distributed common ground system. Officials say they're abandoning the process of handling IT updates through traditional block releases. I'm Tom Temin.
March is Enterprise IT Month on Federal News Radio, sponsored by Nutanix. Each week we'll explore how agency IT experts and thought leaders are evolving information technology across the enterprise to transform bureaucracy, improve delivery of services, and better meet mission goals. How can agencies lasso big data, develop agile methodologies, and create open architecture solutions? Listen to Enterprise IT Month, sponsored by Nutanix, Tuesdays at 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. for the month of March on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 a.m.
While it pursues the construction of a new headquarters, the FBI has completed another impressive structure. Its new biometrics technology center houses 360,000 square feet and a lot of scientific and forensic expertise. Joining me with details, Steve Morris, FBI Assistant Director for Criminal Justice Information Services. Mr. Morris, great to have you on.
Thank you, Tom. Glad to be here.
Let's talk about the building itself. This is some time in the making, I guess, and tell us about the structure, where it is, and what's inside of it.
Sure. Our Biometrics Technology Center, it's actually a building a little over 400,000 square feet that we have located on our what we call our campus here in Clarksburg, West Virginia. As you know, our CJIS division is located out here in West Virginia. We sit on about 980 acres out here. And the Biometrics Technology Center, or the BTC as we often refer to it, really represents the latest construction project, if you will, or a milestone for us out here in at the CJIS division, and really what it represents. It's a brick-and-mortar structure, obviously, that is intended to house not just the FBI, but our partners over at the Department of Defense. And really what it represents for us is clearly an opportunity for us to harness all of our biometrics activities within the FBI under one roof, but also to harness on the larger behalf of the U.S. government some of our leading efforts in the field of biometrics. And it's great, you know, to have that facility here in West Virginia to be a part of that.
And are there any special construction or building or build-out requirements caused by the biometrics mission in particular?
Not anything in particular as far as specialized or anything. I mean, really for us, the BTC represents a large effort that, quite frankly, has spanned over the last 10-plus years, quite frankly. Conversations that I remember the FBI being a part of, in the early 2000 timeframe, where our partnership with DOD really grew, quite frankly, in the post 9/11 environment, and really what the building represents. DOD had a need to be able to grow their program, and they had relocated out here or located out here because of the partnership that we have with them, and so they were in desperate need of some space to operate and to work, and of course we were as well. when our original facility was built out here over 20 years ago, it was a short time thereafter, after the building was completed, that we had outgrown it. And we still had folks that were working in off-site locations and different things throughout north central West Virginia that we really needed to get under one roof and to bring them on board. So it was a great opportunity for us to collaborate with DOD to do that. So it really is just more or less having a one roof, one building that we could work under, work together, and quite frankly, capture the synergy that you normally would catch in any sort of task force-like environment. So that's really where the value of this building.
All right, so give us a sense of how the world of biometrics has expanded. I mean, FBI is the original biometric agency with fingerprints, but it's really much more than that nowadays, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Technology is clearly driving the pace of things in most everything we do today. But as it relates to biometrics, you know, that's really a term of art or science that's really come into play in the last decade or so. And we really saw that explosion in that field, you know, in a post-9/11 environment where the U.S. government, not just the FBI, but our law enforcement, our national security partners, DOD, Department of Homeland Security, and the like, really leveraging technology to help identify individuals, whether those were individuals on the battlefield or individuals traveling to our homeland. And obviously, with the FBI's 100-plus years experience in dealing with fingerprints, that's really where the partnership really grew. And then again, to your point, technology in the area of facial recognition, different types of fingerprints, whether it be palm prints or latent print technology. And then we're also looking at, you know, different modalities of biometrics, whether it be voice, iris, DNA, and different things. That technology is really, really expanding. And so that is where the synergy of all of our efforts and all of our missions across the U.S. government really come to bear.
We're speaking with Steve Morris, FBI Assistant Director for Criminal Justice Information Services.